Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 7th chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lay down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we might call upon Job here that he has reached his lowest point thus far in the book. And by lowest point, I don't mean his lowest point in his feelings. I mean his lowest point in his behavior. Job says some things here that men ought not to say. Job is sore afflicted. And so while we would desire to empathize with him, our hearts would go out to him, still our hearts cannot go out to the countenancing of evil. And Job speaks evil here. We must understand that. There are older commentators that attempt to mollify Job's speech here to make it less guilty, I suppose. We do not agree with them. I don't. There are things that Job says here that are difficult to justify. So let's kind of open the chapter up and try to understand what Job is saying. He's using some very picturesque speech here that we may be inclined or prone to misunderstand. At the beginning of the chapter, he talks about the hireling and the servant. Now, keep in mind that it is not unlawful to be a hireling or a servant. Notice he says, the hireling, the servant, what do they look for? Well, they look for the end of their work. They look for the end of the day. They look for, like he says, the shadow, right? When the sun becomes low in the sky and the shadow starts to stretch across the face of the earth, that's a good thing for the hireling because he says what? My labor is almost done. I can go rest. I can get some rest finally, right? I can go and lay myself down. My labors are about to cease. And so it becomes an encouragement to him. Job, on the other hand, says, notice, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? You see the difference there. Job was saying, here's the sweetness of the laboring man. The sun comes down. He sees the shadows start to grow. And so he looks forward to his lying down and his rest. But me, when I lay down, I say, when shall I get up? I don't even get any break when I'm lying down, he says. When I lie down, when you would expect to get rest, a little bit later on in the chapter, he says, then thou scarest me with dreams. You see, what Job is saying is, I have had months of unrelenting suffering. And that may be true. That may indeed be true. That may be absolutely no exaggeration at all. And yet, it does not give Job leave to speak against the providence of God. That's the point. The point here is that Job is continuing on and he is justifying even his desire to die against God's providence and against God's command because he believes his case is special. He has suffered so much more than people generally must. My dear brothers and sisters, whenever we think, I have leave because my case is special, we have begun to go down a very difficult and rebellious road. This is what Job is doing here. And so while we may think that there is some faithfulness yet in Job, and there is, he is still calling upon God, but even in his calling upon God here, there it is fraught with murmur. It is fraught with complaint. It is fraught with a rebellion against God's providence and a taking up of Job's own thinking the way things ought to be and calling that right instead. And my dear brothers and sisters, we're not given leave ever to do that. This represents quite a declension from Job's earlier faithfulness in chapters 1 and 2 where he said, though he slay me, I will trust him. Naked came I into this world. Naked I shall return out of this world. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a difference here now in chapter 7 from those pious speeches, statements, and sentiments. Even the inspired commentator stopped at the end of those chapters and said, in this Job sinned not with his mouth, nor charged God foolishly. And note that there is no such comment like that here. So, have you suffered? I believe some of you have. Have you suffered mightily? I believe some of you may have. The depth, the scope, the sweep of our suffering, may I say, is never so great as it gives us leave to doubt of God's faithfulness and to doubt of God's genius and to doubt of God's providence. We must not indulge ourselves in so doing. So then, remember that this is the answer to Eliphaz's first speech, right? It's the answer. And so this is the second chapter of Job's answer. What had Eliphaz accused him of hypocrisy? Do you remember that? Okay, so now notice what Job does toward the end of this chapter. And it is difficult at this point because of what Job has already said to accede to Job a particular sincerity. Job may be speaking rather in frustration or even in sarcasm. It is difficult to know at this point. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And so I want to believe that Job is being faithful here toward the end of the chapter when he says, verse 19, How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone until I swallow down my spittle? So notice what he says here. How long wilt thou not depart from me? So notice at this point then, Job believes that in his case, the presence of God is always going to be one of difficulty, of affliction, of chastisement, and of judgment. In other words, Job doesn't say, release thy hand from me and reveal thy comfortable presence. He says altogether, depart from me that I may have relief. You see that? That's something that we ought never to imbibe in. And then notice what he says. I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? What shall I do unto thee, O preserver of men? Well, the I have sinned part, Job does not yet know what his sin is. And so this confession of his is either a general confession, or maybe in frustration, or maybe even in sarcasm. Commentators are divided as to what exactly Job is doing here. We want to give him the benefit of the doubt, and so we want to understand that it is more a general confession of sin. Certainly, I've done something wrong that I'm being punished for. But notice that we don't hear that kind of humility that we ought to hear in such a confession. Why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust. And so Job again turns to that the false comfort of death, right? If every moment of my life is some affliction, the only relief then I can have is death. That's Job's reasoning, and oh, that is but sinful, sinful reasoning. So, we leave Job here then in chapter 7 in a situation that is not good. We see Job at some of his worst here. In the next chapter, Bildad is going to take up a speech against Job. Job's comments here in chapters 6 and 7 will not silence his friends. Rather, they will continue to confront him the more. And again, we have found that there is enough blame to go around. There's blame in Job, and there's blame in his friends in the way that they confront him and present unto him not empathy, but a lack of understanding into his estate. So, we continue that cycle then as we take up, Lord willing, this afternoon, chapter 8. Let's stand.